that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Hey, everybody, did the news get around about a guy named Butcher Pete?
He's whacking and whacking and smacking.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Today we talk shop with the two different theatrical shops currently on the Chico arts scene. We talk with some of the creators of The Butcher Shop 2016, this year's edition of the unique outdoor theater happening for the Labor Day weekend. And we visit Chico Theater Company to hear from the cast of Little Shop of Horrors, the kooky, creepy comedy horror musical about a man-eating plant. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Mull with the North State Arts Calendar.
Next Thursday at Redding's Cascade Theater, the folk duo of Sean Colvin and Steve Earle. These two multi-Grammy winning stars share the stage for a great musical experience starting at 7:30. The Orland Art Center features work by Molly Flack in the show titled California, a Celebration. She calls herself a pursuer of light and a recorder of historically significant people. Meet the artist at a reception going on now and lasting till 7 o'clock at the gallery. Tonight in Chico's downtown plaza, welcome in September with The Ravels and their cool hits and boss beats. The music starts just 3 hours from now at 6 o'clock. 1078 Gallery in Chico displays work by Ruben Heredia. This exhibit is titled One Artist, Four Visions, because it includes four different series: the Mystery, the Metamorphosis, the Abstract, and the Mesoamerican Transformation. You can ask Heredia about all of that if you attend the reception at the gallery next Thursday, starting at 6 o'clock. The Janet Turner Print Museum, in collaboration with the university's Department of English, displays selected prints from its collection. Prints that have served as inspiration for creative writing students. This exhibit, titled Visual Metrics, Prints and Poetry, demonstrates the relationship between these prints and the written words. You can visit the Turner at its new home, the university's just-built Arts and Humanities Building, Monday through Saturday, 11 to 4. In Paradise, Theater on the Ridge stages The Veil, a play which weaves Ireland's troubled colonial history into a story about the search for love and about the circularity of time. Opening night starts at 7:30 next Thursday. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. According to the late Gene Wilder, great art direction is not the same thing as great film direction.
Butcher Shop, a unique Chico theater event that happens every year at Labor Day weekend. It happens tomorrow and Sunday. We're going to have several of the people associated with that event. First, we have Dylan Latimer, artistic director of this. What does that mean?
As artistic director, we put together the writing workshops the play came out of and basically helped construct the whole event. Music and the sets and the play itself, directing the play and the actors and the casting and everything.
Since you go back to the very roots of the first butcher shop, just very briefly tell us what the butcher shop is.
The butcher shop is a Chico theater tradition that was started in 1989 when my brother and I and some of our friends from high school got together and wrote some plays and put it on in our parents' backyard. We've been doing it on and off since then.
Every other year that I've been to it, it's a bunch of short little unconnected pieces, really.
Yeah.
But this year you decided to unify it more into one piece?
This year, when we were at our writing workshops, we were going around and talking about the different themes that people wanted to write about, and we found that there were some interesting commonalities. So what we decided to do this year was try for doing one big narrative, where we have all 70 of the actors and musicians all working on one giant story. It's a crazy concept, and it's going to be interesting to see if we can pull it off.
Was it hard to unify all those different styles and structures into one narrative piece?
It was incredibly hard. I can't even tell you. The play was written by email. There was all these different authors contributing to it and different people weighing in on what they thought should be this and that should be that. And it's like a comedy, tragedy, history, musical is what I would call it.
And it's officially called The 11th Hour, and there's a long subtitle. So what's that subtitle?
It's called The 11th Hour, or The Assassination of Our Great Leader, Silvio Romo, by Anti-Nationalist Weasels.
Would you say that the butcher shop in general, and this piece in particular, has social, political commentary element to it?
I'd like the main writer, Jesse Karch, to speak to that, but I will say that one of our big concerns every year is to try to bring the community together, and part of that is to reflect the feelings of what's going on in the community, and I think this play really does sort of talk about what kinds of thoughts and feelings that people are having in Chico right now.
Jesse Karch, you're one of the playwrights.
One of the playwrights.
What is going on? He said that it's supposed to reflect what's going on in the community, so what is going on and what is reflected in the play?
Well, we're in an election year. It's a kind of unusual election. We wanted to kind of look back over the centuries and understand what goes into the creation of a extremely powerful and charismatic political candidate. What it is in the population and people who are not in politics either support or oppose such a figure.
So, Dylan, talk a little bit about how this engages the community in this big outdoor happening.
That's one of the things that brings everybody back to Chico every year to do this show. The thing that everybody looks forward to when they get here is that incredible, generous, giving spirit of the artists in Chico who dedicate just a tremendous amount of time and energy to putting on this. It's all about the sense that I'm going to paint this painting for this backdrop. It's going to take me a week of 12-hour days, and people are going to see it for 5 minutes, but I want to make this thing as beautiful as I can.
Before we go any further, we should get into specifics for people who haven't been able to experience the butcher shop before. Mm-hmm. It's way out on the edge of Chico in an outdoor setting. Talk about where it is.
The plays take place in an old almond orchard. There's a barn there that used to be an almond processing barn, and we've built a stage out of the barn. Greg Amaral.
But it's still outdoors, kind of. I mean, the stage is under the sky.
The stage is under the sky, and it kind of comes out of the barn, and then the people sit in a field that's next to the barn. So it's a unique location. It's really beautiful, and it's at the end of Normal Street on Estes Road.
Elizabeth Latimer, you're the music director. How would you describe the kind of music that's involved in this event?
We've written our own songs this year for the first time.
It's all original songs?
It's all original songs, but we've tried to preserve the diversity of sound that has been part of the traditional music landscape of the butcher shop. So we've invited various people to write the songs. We have a very beautiful song from Donald Beeman this year, which we're really excited to perform.
My experience of hearing the music over the years, a lot of the pieces have a wild kind of crazy edge to them. Are you still going to have that feeling in a lot of the pieces?
Yeah, we're really shooting for that. We want to keep things as wild and crazy as we can.
And you have some vocalists who are really going to push the edge on that?
Yeah, Gina Hall and I are singing. We also have guest singers this year from the cast. So we have Zoe Kartz singing a song. We have Fred Stewart singing a song. And we have Gina and I singing songs. We're always trying to push the envelope with the singing and the playing.
Would you describe how important music is and how it's an integral part of this whole experience?
To me, it's the most important part because the audience has always responded really positively to the personality of the band. Our band name is Dave the Butcher, and they've always expressed a lot of love for Dave the Butcher. And so to me, it's the thing that keeps the show kind of popping.
We also have Yana Collins-Lehman. She is described as an alumnus. So what are you doing for this year's Butcher Shop?
Really the Dylan Jesse whisper. I just am keeping them chilled out and feeling confident.
You're managing the talent.
Yeah, managing the talent brains. You know, I come every year with, now I bring my children, Beckett and Francis, and they participate every year. And their dad, Scott Lehman, who's a member of the Imps, which is a fun Chico band, he's the drummer for Dave the Butcher. We're getting ready to pass this on to the next generation.
So what do your kids think of this wild and crazy event their parents and all of their friends are putting on? It's not really a normal event.
It isn't a normal event. It is normal to them. And for me, they really embody the spirit of when it all started. We didn't know what we were doing, and yet we were the artistic director and the writers and the directors and the musicians who were just doing whatever we wanted to do. And that's what these kids get to do. They get to get up on stage and perform, and they look forward to it every year. They kind of take it for granted.
How would you describe the way this event, the Butcher Shop, sparks creativity and celebrates the arts in not a very buttoned-down way, but in a just kind of loose, open way?
I think that as an audience member or as a performer, you really have a sense that you are participating in something. The community activism piece of it, we do our best to get the community involved, first of all, by making it free. So that gives us a lot of rope with which to hang ourselves. Mm-hmm. Audience members, too, you know, I think that they feel really part of it. People who, like you, who've been so supportive and generous to us all these years, feel a lot of ownership for it. It's just this certain sense that it's theirs.
So, Dylan, let's go over mm-hmm. when this starts tomorrow and okay. Sunday.
Tomorrow, the show itself starts at 8 p.m. The orchard opens at 5:30 p.m.
So and what happens between 5:30 and 8?
Between 5:30 and 8, there are multiple musical acts performing on another stage out at the orchard.
And you have some art displayed, is that right?
We have a sculpture garden this year that basically is reflecting the theme of the play, that is to say, the theme of authoritarian government and monumentalism. Now, some of our sculptors in Chico actually had the idea to do anti-monumentalist pieces. So some of the sculptures reflect a kind of anti-monumentalist vibe, while others are celebrating the dictator. So it's a really interesting mix, and we have a map out there so that you can go and look at the sculptures and see how they relate to each other. In addition, an anthropology professor has written a tongue-in-cheek introduction to the sculpture garden this year that everybody's going to get when they get there. So it's kind of like a little bit more interactive theater this year in the sense that it sort of starts as soon as you arrive at the orchard, the play, even though the actual play doesn't start until 8 p.m.
Dylan, I know that from the beginning, this Butcher Shop event has had kind of an intellectual, educational background because everybody was English majors, I believe.
That's right.
How, over the years, have you walked the line between sort of philosophical content and intellectual content and just wild fun? Because it seems like it's both.
Our great inspiration for the Butcher Shop was always the avant-garde theater artists in the early 20th century. And those people were all about two things: defying the system that existed and creating something new in that space of burning it down. To give you an example, when we saw Antonin Artaud or Jerzy Grotowski or Peter Brook's theater type events when we were first going to college, we were so inspired by those people because they were doing something new that was unlike anything that we were seeing at the time. We loved American theater. We loved Eugene O'Neill and Arthur Miller and Tennessee Williams. But this was way outside of those writers. I mean, this was like something that was completely bizarre. The first movie that really showed us this was that great film, My Dinner with Andre, where Wallace Shawn sits down with Andre and he says, "What's going on?" And Andre says, "I just got back from Poland and boy, did I see a crazy theater thing out there." It was like they were talking right to us. And so we went and investigated all those different types of theater things. And when we came back from our first year in college, that's when we cut the hole in the garage and started putting on plays.
So are you pleased that over all these years, you've managed to make The Butcher Shop stay that crazy theater thing?
Yeah, I think the key to The Butcher Shop has always been in the name. The name of The Butcher Shop is the absolute essential element, because if we had named it something else, we wouldn't have that same sense of both, what's the word?
Freedom?
Yeah, we wouldn't have that same sense of freedom and carnage that, that comes from the concept. The metaphor is just big enough to encapsulate both the sense that we're making art and we're also sort of cutting something up.
So it's metaphorical meat.
Yes, it's a metaphorical meat, exactly.
We've been talking with some representatives from The Butcher Shop 2016, and it's called The 11th Hour this year, and it's kind of a unified piece, but still including all the wild different elements that we're used to with The Butcher Shop. And that is tomorrow. Doors open at 5:30. Well, metaphorical doors open at 5:30. And the show starts rolling at 8. And also, again, on Sunday night. Thanks to all of you. I'm here at Chico Theater Company, where they just opened their production of Little Shop of Horrors. Here's Casey Spillman. She plays Audrey. Tell me about your character.
Well, Audrey, she's been treated a little bit abusively by her dentist boyfriend, Oren Scrivello, and so she's just trying to find herself.
But she has some self-worth issues, doesn't she?
Yes, yes. In her song, Suddenly Seymour, Seymour kind of helps her find who she is and, like, gets that self-confidence back. Audrey's actually my dream role.
Why have you always wanted to play this role?
Oh, I just love her. Like, I used to do the accent when I was little, like, little New York accent, and sing Suddenly Seymour all the time. So it's just been a complete joy to play one of my dream roles.
We've been talking with Casey Spillman, who plays Audrey in The Little Shop of Horrors at Chico Theater Company. And now I'm talking with Marcus Rutledge, and he's playing Seymour Kelborn. What kind of guy is he?
Seymour is a very awkward individual. He has a lot of problems with balance, falls a lot. He just has a pretty rough life overall. He's kind of looking for a place in this world, and unfortunately he finds it in a rather unusual place with a man-eating plant.
How do you strike the balance in this performance between this really kind of awful story with awful consequences for your character, but yet the tone is so light and satirical.
The script is written very brilliantly in that it has these very funny, unique characters, and I think that's why this story is able to be told the way it is. It is a very gruesome tale to tell with a very good message, this message that gaining things through malicious ways is not going to get you what you want in the end.
We've been talking with Marcus Rutledge, who plays Seymour in Little Shop of Horrors at Chico Theater Company. Now we're talking with probably the standout supporting player in Little Shop of Horrors. He plays the rather sadistic and evil Orin Scrivello. The actor's name is Ulysses Ramirez. Your character is very exaggerated, kind of evil and sadistic. How did you play that line between being a cartoon, but also kind of being a real person as well?
I have a dark past. I'm just, just kidding. No, I watched the movie. The first time I ever watched the movie was about a week before auditions. Steve Martin plays the character. So I was ready to be a Steve Martin on stage and, you know, just got his mannerisms down a little bit. Mm-hmm. I told the director, like, I'm ready to do this. I got the confidence. Uh-huh. And I told her that I watched it and I'm ready to be another Steve Martin. And she looks me right in my eyes and says, I don't want you to be like Steve Martin. So I took a little bit of his character and applied it. And I don't know, the rest just kind of weirdly came naturally.
We've been talking with Ulysses Ramirez, who plays Dr. Scrivello in Little Shop of Horrors at Chico Theater Company. And now we're talking with a team of two actors who play what I'd have to say is the central character in Little Shop of Horrors, the giant man-eating plant from outer space. One of these two actors, he's a puppeteer, he's working the plant, and the other is the voice of the plant. Shauna Jones, I've seen several productions of this, but I've never seen one where a woman played the voice of the plant. Usually it's a very basso profundo male voice. What did you do to really get that threatening deep voice of the plant?
There's a lot of growling involved, a lot of growling. And also I kind of see it as a hybrid of Levi Stubbs and Anne Margaret.
In what way was the plant like Anne Margaret?
A lot of the lines in this particular production are interpreted as more of a seductress. There is some overtone in the feed me directive and feed me all night long. We kind of took a sexier slant on it.
Did you feel by the time you got to the end of rehearsals that you were really in sync as one character together?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I also have the added benefit of not burning as many calories as Dustin does. So I get to kind of reserve all of that energy for the big notes.
Well, let's talk to that puppeteer who is playing the plant physically on stage, Dustin Kane.
With a role like this, it's definitely different because I'm not speaking at all. I'm sitting there the entire time while everybody else is performing, and then as soon as Shauna opens up her mouth, that's when I have to go.
Quite a workout for you physically, isn't it?
It's definitely a workout in there because, like, it is actually very hot in there. But luckily, I do have, like, a little spritzer fan to keep me nice and cool. But if that breaks down, then it becomes a sauna in there. So, yeah, essentially, I will burn a few calories while I'm in there.
And the plant, of course, keeps getting bigger and bigger. It starts out where you're basically having to just use your hand. And then by the last part of the play, you're using your legs, all of you, to make that plant work, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm using everything. Actually, the plant that sings the song Feed Me, I'm kind of like hunched over in there, and my two arms are controlling the plant's mouth, whereas my legs kind of act as the two roots. And then the big plant that you see in Act 2, my entire body is actually in the top jaw, and I have these red gloves that act as tonsils, where I grab these two ropes that are attached to the bottom jaw, and I'm working it. So essentially, it feels like I'm lifting weights in there.
Of course, it's a plant that eats people, and we actually see the people get swallowed by the plant. Was it hard getting the timing and the logistics of people
going into the plant and getting eaten while you're in the plant too?
Yeah, it was a little difficult, especially when for some of the people that do get eaten, I have to time myself to the music, and I have to make sure that I don't, like, topple over somebody so hard that I hurt them.
Well, I've been talking with the team of people who bring to life the central bloodthirsty plant at the center of Little Shop of Horrors. And Little Shop of Horrors plays through September 18th on Thursdays, Fridays, Saturday nights, and Sunday matinees.
Suddenly Seymour standing beside you. You don't need no makeup, don't have to pretend. Suddenly Seymour is here to provide you sweet understanding. Seymour's your friend.
Nobody ever treated me kindly. Daddy left early, Mama was poor. I meet a man and I follow him blindly. He'd snap his fingers at me, I'd say sure.
Suddenly
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts where you live. And if you ever miss this program at its 3 o'clock broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.
Michigan boy, working some guts, and you get it.
I don't know.